Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. It's Impact on Point of View. And, you know, at this point, we speak to people that are making a difference in their really what may seem like tiny, tiny ways, but are shaking and building this country one step at a time. And sometimes are under the radar, but are doing amazing, amazing things. So on the line with us is journalist, veteran journalist, Ruta Landman. You may remember her from Carte Blanche. Ruta, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We wanted to talk to you, Ruta, about your program, the Grad Initiative. And I just want you to take me back to your ideas when you started this initiative.
It was 2015, and I can't really remember what made me understand the challenges that first-generation young people who are trying to get through education, the challenges that they face, and the how far they have to, how much they have to catch up with youngsters like my own son, who grew up with conversations around the kitchen table about money, about time management, about speaking up in a group, about study methods, whatever. If you come from a home where no one has walked this path, I just suddenly realized that it's really, really hard and almost impossible. And I thought, well, maybe one could codify that that kind of general information that we as privileged people take for granted.
My recollection of some of the work that you do is essentially to hold their hands as they arrive from various parts of the country, sometimes not knowing anybody in this big city, wherever the big city is, and so on. Just maybe give us a better sense of what exactly you guys do.
Well, it started with a connection between me and Study Trust, which is a bursary administration organization. They run bursary schemes for a number of big companies, from Amazon to Standard Bank to Investec to whoever. And their strength is their mentoring program. So I saw what they were doing, and I said, could I take their content, their mentoring content, and rewrite it in really easy, I said, like You magazine, you know, in easy to read, easy to understand, short chapters. So that was the beginning. So I did the first grad book, in which was the first lot, were published in 2016. It's basically taking responsibility, starting out with taking responsibility. I am in charge of my life, the good and the bad. Managing time, managing money, feeding yourself on a small budget, study methods, handling stress. Later on, I added stuff with because of feedback about relationships, etc.
You know, I can only imagine that for these young people who suddenly have a helping hand, it does make a difference. Were you able to track, Ruta, you know, the difference it makes in their lives? Were you able to, is there a way, a barometer of sorts that gives you a sense of how much this program has assisted them?
Well, we have a quiz. We now have a second book. Well, we actually now have three. But the second one was called Grad Next, and it is for the transition from being a student to finding a job and being a working adult. So we have two kind of audiences.
Yes.
And we have a quiz in each of these magazines, these booklets. And you can win a cell phone, so people respond. And every year we get just over 500 from each of those audiences. And I'm always in tears when I read those responses, because one of the questions is, what did grad or grad next, what did it mean in your life? How did you use it? And last year, the winner said, I was a broken-winged bird.
Wow.
And grad set me on my feet. And another one said, I was completely helpless, and I thought, what was I thinking to try and study? And this was, you know, I was completely out of my world, and this was ridiculous. And with grad and God, I found my way. You know, so they really, and with the grad next, which contains things like, in the first place, how does one decide where you want to go? You know, if you have a BCom, you could go into any number of jobs. So how does one decide where you want to be? And then where do you start looking? And how to use practical things like how to use LinkedIn? What does networking mean? How to write a CV, a cover letter, how to prepare for the interview, etc., etc. And there are people, and both of them, because one of our major sponsors is Capitec, they make it possible for us to print. Some Skype publishers do an amazing job in pro bono work, in layout and managing the process. But and Capitec gives us the hard cash. And so they have supplied a very comprehensive money management section in both the booklets. And very often the young people say, I didn't know what to do with my first allowance. And I, you know, I splurged it all in the first 5 days of the month. But now at least I have guidelines, and I know how to think about it and how to approach it. And I think that the money management one is one of the elements that most people refer to when they say, you know, what it does mean for them.
And I was going to actually ask you that, Ruda, in your experience, the one thing that you are finding is more impactful, you know, some of the skills that you're giving. What is the biggest need? And I suppose, as you're saying, it's money management. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but interesting also, so many of them also make a kind of, which really warms my heart. They make a kind of general remark about, I now understand that I can actually do something about my own circumstances and about my own life. And for me, that is, you know, I have this absolute burning passion to convince people that they can. You know, Henry Ford, who built the Model T Fords, said, whether you say you can or you say you can't, you're right.
You know, I'm not assuming that you have all the money in the world to hand out. But I'm sure that there are times when you almost feel like you want to intervene. And I know that maybe your experience in journalism has given you that discipline where you sometimes can see the struggle and you want to give them the extra 100 rand or the extra 200 rand. Talk to me about finding that balance and just you being able to observe and not necessarily step in too much.
Well, that is absolutely not my role. What I have taken upon myself is mental support, emotional support. Study Trust, my very good partners at Study Trust, they are in the business of handing out money. So when we come across a case like that, and it does happen, you're quite right, then I ask Marie Hofmeyer, my very good friend who's the national director, could you find money somewhere? And Murray either comes back and he says, sorry, it's, you know, we're just, the coffers are empty at this point in the year. Or he says, well, I have a little bit left over here and there and there. And I, you know, but it's, for me personally, I just don't go there. You can't. You cannot. As an individual, you cannot.
Ruda, you obviously had seen the length and breadth of this country with your work, but what surprised you the most when interacting with these young people in this work? what surprised you the most about their own experiences and what you found out about, you know, young people and what they're going through in a country that's got its own challenges?
I think on the one side there's a positive that I could not imagine the kind of grit and almost a hankering after a better life and to get to where I want to be, to improve my own circumstances and my family's circumstances. It's it's a kind of yearning that you feel, which I was vaguely aware of. That's what made me start with this whole thing. But it is so much stronger than I ever thought. And if people, when people kind of talk, how does one put it? They put the youngsters down. They have no impetus, whatever. This is so not true. It is, there's good and bad everywhere. But on the other hand, the mental stress of these young people who are coming through and they do not have the supportive structure behind them. They very often, I almost wouldn't say in most cases, they have the love and the emotional support, but that's all the family has to give. They have nothing practical. They are far away in many cases. They haven't walked the road. This kid fails the first test. She can't phone home and cry on her mother's shoulder. Her mother will be devastated.
I was going to ask you
her that. Mother has placed all of her hopes on the child's shoulder. And that stress, it is immense. It is immense.
And I was going to ask you about that because I am sure that as you hold their hand through it, there will be those who fail the first semester. And they had no room to fail anything, let alone the first semester. Talk to me about what they go through in those times and how your help sort of sets them back on track, because it could be devastating for some of them.
As I say, I work really closely with Study Trust, and that kind of immediate support, being there for the students, comes from them. What I do is to provide the content, and I can only hope that the kid finds that. Shouldn't call them kids, should I? that they will find someone at all the universities have some. Each university has someone who is tasked with looking after the first years, and those are my contact people at all the universities. And they receive the booklets and they put them in the orientation packs and so forth. So I hope that point of contact will support the students. And the content that I provide will help people, because the Bible says to those that have will be given. The best universities have five people in this office, and they are all highly qualified and they are there for the students. The University of Limpopo, Venda, UniZulu, whatever, have one poor person who is so overrun. That it's usually a she. It doesn't know which way to turn. So I hope that my booklets at least give those people an instrument, a tool that they can use.
When at the end of it all, and I'm just curious about how long they keep in touch with you after they've gone on and done amazing things, the stories that you get back, talk to me about just what an impact this, and you may think it's small, this has on their life, on their journeys. What kind of success stories have you looked back on?
I don't know. We haven't actually, that's actually a very, very good idea. We must reach out and ask people to
stay
write
in touch
about
yeah.
that. Because we haven't. There have been a few of the winners of our quiz through the years. There was one young man who I first connected with when he was a second year at UKZN, second year sociology. I can't really remember asking him what was the most difficult thing in your first year? And I was thinking the gap between matric and first year studies and so forth. And he said, having to accept that I had two pairs of pants and three T-shirts, and that is it, and the other people in my corridor in the residence could go to Mr. Price and buy what they need. And he now has a doctorate.
Oh, wow.
He's in Oxford.
Wow.
Now, 9 years later.
Wow.
I don't know exactly. I don't know where he's teaching.
Wow.
I followed him on Facebook for a while.
Wow.
And I saw the Oxford, the time that he did there, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that's an exception. I don't have that kind of feedback. But, you know, I did a series of podcasts last year called Change in One Generation, which was not about students from the last 8 years, 9 years, when I've been doing this project. Mm. It was people who are slightly older who have walked this road before.
Mm.
And their stories are just wonderful and so inspiring. If people want to go to changepodcast.co.za, they will find it there, Change in One Generation. And then, you know, someone who grew up literally in three mud huts in Limpopo and is now the head of CSI at Investec. You know, it's
wow.
Just,
wow.
It's just such an astonishing story. And there are so many others. I think we are not aware of this really tectonic change that is happening in our country with people coming from nowhere.
Mm.
And just, you know, not everyone has to be Bill Gates.
Yes.
Just being a good, solid, professional person wherever. That is what we need. That is what builds the country.
We speak of how their lives may have changed or may not. We don't know. You know, anecdotally, we assume that their lives have changed. And for many, as you said earlier, you know, they are yearning for better. How has this program impacted your life?
It's just reinforced my enormous gratitude for my privilege and my realization of how privileged I am. And I get really not so much furious as just, the Afrikaans word is moedeloos, discouraged, just completely, you know, my tires go flat when someone says that it is not true to say that we, and I must, sorry, voice is a very bad word to use, white people, that we are privileged. But we are. It's, you know, these kids cannot phone home because their parents could not realize all their potential. So you can't disregard the past and say, oh, it's all over. The past is with us. It lives in the circumstances in which these young people were children. So I think, yeah, that's the one thing that it just made me realize more and more that we who have the privilege should do just everything we can because for our own sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the future of the country.
Yeah. You know, you and your partners are at the cold face of what happens when these systems fail, when we hear in the headlines that, you know, NSFAS didn't pay people, or payment was delayed, or there was a systems error. You, I suppose, are at the cold face of that, and you see the impact of some of our failures. How are we doing, Ruda? How as a country are we? I don't know if I want to use the word fail, but how are we doing? Are we failing these young people?
I am completely and wholeheartedly a glass half full person.
Mm.
So, yes, I go cold when I read about NSFAS and all the problems and troubles that they have. But I also know that there are thousands of people who have received NSFAS and for whom it would have been impossible to go further than matric without it. So we just have to get it right. We have to make it work. And, you know, we're in a much better place now than we were, say, 5 years ago, when everything was crumbling under our feet and we didn't know it, or we didn't. It wasn't clear. Now we know what's happening. And I do believe that we have turned the corner.
Mm.
But as I say, I also prefer to, it just makes me happy. Otherwise, who was it, David Landis, who wrote that the optimists have it, because from them come energy and a kind of forward power. I forget the exact quote. Yes. All the pessimist has is the sour realization of being right.
You know, you could have just decided to do you, really, and take the time in your retirement to do just that, to look after yourself, to do you, and just sort of, yes, be aware of what's happening, but focus on yourself. Why was it important for you to reach out?
It's just so fulfilling and so rewarding to be able to use the skills and the knowledge and the life. What's the word? I don't want to go so far as to call it wisdom. But, you know, when I'm almost 71, you have learned something. You have walked the road. I brought up a child. I have other young people in my life that I've supported over time. Giving back, and I absolutely love writing. It comes easily, and I love doing it. So it's like, you know, if you're a really good tennis player, you like to play.
Yes. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really, really appreciate you giving us your time. And it's. I know that you keep making it sound small, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. What you're doing is needed, is appreciated. Maybe they don't come back to say thank you, but we want to say thank you. Thank you so much for this initiative, Ruda. It really is one step in the right direction. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for helping me reach out to people.
So how do people reach you? Can people contribute? How do they support this initiative?
Well, I want the young people to be more aware and to use it.
Yeah.
If they go to grad.org.za, all the booklets are online, but they are also, I'm very excited that we now have a newsletter which goes out every Monday morning.
Mm.
And I think we've had five, up to six. I think this week, today was the sixth.
Yes.
And it's a short newsletter about, at the moment I'm writing about study methods because it's October and exams start in a few weeks' time.
Yes.
So they can go to the website, find Thought for the Week, and there's a subscribe button. Please join us. Please just use our stuff.
Yeah.
That's how you support us.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely lovely. Thank you, Ruda. And lovely, lovely. Really, this is wonderful. Ruda Landman is a veteran journalist, and you may remember her from her days in Carte Blanche, and she runs the GRAD initiative. So go to the website, just grad. I think it's .org. I'll tell you now in a short while. And, you know, as she said, what's important is for you to get involved. If you are a youngster, if you've started university, this is your first year, this is a really, really important initiative because it can support you. grad.org.za. That's where you find all that information. grad.org.za. That's the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.